Welcome to SCOTUS Cast. On March 25th, 2008, the court decided the case of Hall Street Associates versus Mattel. The court was asked to consider whether or not a federal court can enforce an arbitration agreement that provides for a more expansive judicial review of an arbitration award than the narrow standard of review provided for in the Federal Arbitration Act. The court held that the FAA's ground for prompt vacatur and modification of awards are exclusive for parties seeking expedited review under the FAA. In this episode of SCOTUS Cast, Mark Behrens, a partner at the D.C.-based law firm Shook, Hardy, and Bacon, discusses the case. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Attorney Behrens.
On March 25, 2008, the United States Supreme Court in Hall Street Associates v. Mattel ruled that federal courts have a limited role in reviewing arbitration awards made pursuant to the Federal Arbitration Act. The 6-3 decision held that the Act's statutory grounds for expedited judicial review may not be supplemented by contract. The statutory grounds are exclusive. The opinion is available at 2008 Westlaw 762537. The case began as a lease dispute between Hall Street, a landlord, and toymaker Mattel. After Mattel gave notice of its intent to terminate a lease and vacate the property, Hall Street claimed that Mattel was obligated to indemnify it for the cost of cleaning up contaminated well water at the site. Following a bench trial in Oregon federal court, Mattel won on the termination issue. The parties then agreed to submit to arbitration to resolve the indemnification claim. The arbitration agreement proposed by the parties and approved by the district court provided that the court could override the arbitrator's decision if the arbitrator's conclusions of law were erroneous. This provision granted the federal court a broader role in reviewing the arbitrator's decision than Congress provided for in the Act. The Federal Arbitration Act contains only 4 grounds for vacating an arbitration award. These include corruption, partiality, or misbehavior on the part of the arbitrator. The grounds for modifying an award are also limited, applying to instances such as correction of a material factual mistake. Thus, the issue ultimately before the United States Supreme Court focused on whether parties that submit to arbitration under the Act may supplement the terms of the Act and obtain expedited vacator and modification for issues such as legal error. The federal courts of appeal were split on this issue. The Ninth Circuit below in Hall Street and the Tenth Circuit had held the Arbitration Act's narrow grounds for expedited judicial review to be exclusive. In their view, arbitration agreements that control the mode of judicial review are unenforceable. The Eighth Circuit had expressed agreement with this approach in dicta. In contrast, the First, Third, Fifth, and Sixth Circuits had found the statutory grounds to be mere threshold provisions open to expansion by agreement. The Fourth Circuit took this approach in an unpublished opinion. Justice Souter, writing for the Supreme Court, affirmed the Ninth Circuit's approach, holding that the Arbitration Act provides the exclusive grounds for expedited vacator and modification of arbitration awards. Justice Souter was joined by Chief Justice Roberts, Justices Thomas, Ginsburg, and Alito, and by Justice Scalia in all but a footnote. Justice Stevens dissented, joined by Justice Kennedy. According to the majority, the text of the Act carries no hint of flexibility as to the grounds for judicial review of arbitration awards. Congress used language which unequivocally tells courts they must grant confirmation unless one of the prescribed exceptions applies. The majority also explained that this interpretation fits the spirit of what Congress was trying to promote in the Act, which was a national policy favoring arbitration with just the limited review needed to maintain arbitration's essential virtue of resolving disputes straight away. Any other reading, the court said, would undermine the value of arbitration as a way to streamline litigation and reduce legal cost. The court, however, acknowledged competing policy interests expressed by the parties and their amici. For instance, Hall Street and its amici said that parties will flee from arbitration if expanded review is not open to them. They argued that parties will be reluctant to submit to arbitration unless there is judicial review to address potential legal error by an arbitrator. Mattel's amici presented the counterargument discussed by the court, which suggested that the scope of judicial review must be narrow to preserve the attractiveness of arbitration. They argued that if arbitration were to become a mere precursor to traditional civil litigation, the value of arbitration would be questioned. In the big picture, who are the winners and losers from the court's opinion? That's hard to say. In fact, the court candidly admitted, we do not know who, if anyone, is right. In other words, the holding might make federal arbitration more attractive or maybe less attractive. Whatever the consequences, the court said, the statutory text gives us no business to expand the statutory grounds. The court did suggest a path for parties that may prefer more judicial review than the Federal Act now provides. The court explained, the Federal Act is not the only way into court for parties wanting review of arbitration awards. They may contemplate enforcement under state statutory or common law, for example, where judicial review of different scope is arguable. The court added that in this appeal, it was deciding only the scope of the expeditious judicial review under the Federal Arbitration Act, deciding nothing about other possible avenues for judicial enforcement of arbitration awards. Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. For more episodes of SCOTUSCast, as well as audio and video from past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at federalistsociety.org/multimedia.